Okay, I'm not going to ask for a report back, but what would be really interesting is to see the kind of genre, the type of film that people have gone for. So, hands up if you went for a rom-com, romantic comedy, a rom-com. Anybody? Okay, a few went for a rom-com. Okay, hands up if you went for a superhero, Avengers Assemble, whatever, any of the Marvel. Okay? Hands up if you went for science fiction. Hands up if you went for a war film. Hands up if you're just not going to put your hand up at all. Thank you. That's probably the winning one. My favorite films, okay, John, are actually the Godfather trilogy. Anybody share that with me? Yep. Couple or three people go for the Godfather trilogy. Bit before a lot of you guys' time, I'm sorry to say, and they're probably rated 15 or 18. But what I love about them is they tell a story brilliantly. And it has to be said that number three is rubbish compared to the first two, but we just accept that. That just goes with the territory. And it's the story of a mafia family, how they arrive in America, and it kind of flashes back between Sicily and New York as they build a new life. But there's a tradition in all three episodes of Godfather where at the end there's a big family event. It can be a wedding, or it can be a funeral, or it can be a christening, or something like that. And in the middle of this family event, as it's going on, there's a bloodbath happening elsewhere. As scores are settled, and as people grab power for themselves, and as they kill their enemies, and take revenge for all sorts of things. And you might think, what on earth is a minister doing talking about a grisly movie like The Godfather, where scores are settled, where it's very violent? And then have a think back to the bit of the Bible that we heard earlier. Somebody asked me before the service, how on earth are we going to make sense of that bit of the Bible, which is exactly like The Godfather? Because, next slide, please. We have been looking at the story of a man called King Solomon. And Solomon's father was David. That's of David and Goliath fame. And Solomon had just taken over as king. But the problem was his half-brother, Adonijah, also wanted to be king. And there was all sorts of political maneuvering went on. Except it went beyond political maneuvering. And that's what we heard about in the reading just a few minutes ago. It went beyond political maneuvering because Adonijah was trying to say, I want to be king, and he had been told he couldn't be. Solomon had taken the throne, he was the king. And actually, if you're not familiar with the Bible has lots and lots of those kinds of stories, particularly in the Old Testament, where there are all sorts of violent feuds between families, between different nations, all sorts of stuff that we think, what on earth is that about? And in this case, next slide, please. Adonijah, who wanted to be king, comes along to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and says, can you ask Solomon if I can have Abishag as my wife? Now, I suspect Adonijah probably already had several wives. And what's worse is that this poor woman was just being used as a pawn in a political game of power. Adonijah was trying to take the throne, and he thought, if I have this marriage, maybe I can be king. And Solomon seems to have twigged onto this. But at the beginning, we see that this poor woman was being used as a pawn. Now, it's a very different culture. It's a culture of several thousand years ago. And we would hope that perhaps that wouldn't happen today. But then you think back to the last couple of years and the Me Too movement, and you see that actually people, and particularly women, are still quite often used as pawns. People say, I can use this person here or that person there to get what I want. And we see that played out time and time again in the Bible, where people use others as pawns. And so it's worth just taking this as a warning. Don't use other people. Don't use people of the opposite sex. Don't objectify people. Don't just see people as other. Here's what I want. I'm just going to use them to get what I want. Because actually, whenever it unfolds in the Bible, it never, ever works out well. One of the things that the Bible tells us time and time again is that we're made in the image of God. That means we bear characteristics of God in us. And if you want a reason to treat people well, that's the primary reason that the Bible gives us. Treat people well because we bear God's stamp. And so the Me Too movement and all sorts of movements which say don't treat people badly are actually going back to these values that are saying don't use people in power games. Next slide. The question then is about Solomon. What's Solomon doing here? Is Solomon just being a ruthless power broker? Because some of the actions that he takes don't seem very healthy. He's determined to hold on to power. And it's a reminder that actually whenever we want to hold on to power, whenever we want to get what we want, too often we'll say the end justifies the means. I'll do whatever I want to do. It doesn't matter who gets hurt in the process. We prayed earlier on for an election. And in the election, the temptation is just to say, well, it doesn't matter what lies I tell. It doesn't matter what character assassinations I carry out on my political opponents. So long as we get power, that's what counts. And once again, we see in the Bible that where people just take this ruthless approach, it never turns out well. Next slide. And then the worst thing about it is, Solomon says in all of this, as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah must die. Now remember, Adonijah was the guy who wanted to be king. Solomon was probably his enemy now. And Solomon says, I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to do it in God's name. And that is a grotesque self-justification. The text of this passage isn't very clear about the rights and wrongs. It kind of leaves us to make up our own minds in the light of the rest of Scripture. But as Solomon says, as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah must die for this. It points out to us the dangers of self-justification. I grew up in Northern Ireland. And at the time I was growing up, there was a lot of sectarianism, there was a lot of violence. And one of the slogans that you sometimes saw to justify some of the violence was, "For God and Ulster." And that is grotesque. A grotesque use of God's name. A grotesque illustration of the way that sometimes we just do what we want and then we make all sorts of excuses for it. And we say, actually, yes, I'm just trashing my opponent's name in the election because I really need to serve the people. And you think, hang on, how does that fit together? You may well want to serve the people, But how does trashing your opponent serve the people? Or it might be in school or at work. You do something that you know in your heart of hearts is not really on. But we are fantastic at making excuses for ourselves, fantastic at dreaming up all sorts of seemingly wonderful sounding reasons for doing what we did. And it seems that Solomon did that. Next slide, please. Then there's the danger of power. Solomon was in power. He was the king. And he was going to do whatever it took to hold on to his kingdom. He wanted to hold on to authority. Now, there's no doubt that Adonijah's manipulation was wrong. But it's less clear whether Solomon's actions were right. And you'll have heard time and time again that saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In other words, whenever we get into a position of authority, whether that's a position in work where we are the manager, whether it's a position in school where we are given responsibilities, whether it's a position in home even, we sometimes behave as if we have got authority and we say, oh, I've got the power and I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't matter who suffers as a consequence. And that seems to be Solomon's action. So if you have a bit of responsibility, use it well. Use it wisely. Use it for the sake of others. The church has behaved badly over decades in this area. I was hearing on the radio this morning about an inquiry that there has been during the past week into abuse, not allegations, but abuses that took place. And the church has come out looking badly once again. And so we need to say to ourselves, if people see us as having power or responsibility, we need to use that well and wisely. Next slide. We've looked at King Solomon. We've looked at Adonijah, who wants to be king. And time again, we see people who want to hold on to power. And we contrast the Old Testament King Solomon, who held on to power, with the person that we sang about right at the start, King of Kings, a name for Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus had all power and had all authority. And yet, the picture that I've shown you there is of Jesus, the King of Kings, washing his disciples' feet. Jesus didn't hold on to all the power that he had, but actually gave it away. He said, all power, all authority is mine, but actually, I come and I serve you. Real power is not seen in holding on to it, in doing what we want when we want it, but real power is seen when we give away power, when we say, actually, I will use my power, I'll use my talents, I will use my abilities, I will use my time in the service of others. We remember that as we remember people who have served and have given away their lives in the service of others. And Jesus, of course, did that. Went from washing his feet, disciples' feet, one day to the next day, looking absolutely powerless on a cross. Why? So that we can know life in all its fullness, so that we can have the best life that it's possible to have. Jesus gave all his power away for our sake. As we remember people's sacrifice, we do well to think about politics and power and responsibilities and how we use those. Do we use them for our benefits, or do we use them in service of others? We worship the one who gave his power away. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you did not hold on to power, but instead you took on the person of a servant. Forgive us when we try to grab power and responsibility for ourselves, make ourselves look as good as possible. Instead, help us to see the needs of others. Help us to be willing to serve others, and help us to trust in you, the one who was sacrificed for us. We pray in your name. Amen.